washed of the footprint of a stranger on Galilee shore. And the voice that submitted the left billows, I heard in Judea no more. I bet the path of that lone Galilean with joy I will follow today. And the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. When I get to the end of the way, there are so many hills to climb upward. I often am longing for it, but he who appoints me my pathway knows just what is needful and best. Say it. I know in his word he has promised that my strength it will be as my day. All his children he had dearly purchased, praise God, and Satan can never claim such. I know in his word he hath promised that my strength it shall be as my day. And the toils of the road will seem nothing, glory, when I get to the end of the way. All the toils of the road will seem nothing since we got to the end of the way. When my last feeble step has been taken and the gates of that city appear and the songs of a beautiful angel float out on my listening ear, then the things that now seem so mysterious, oh, they'll be bright and as clear as the day. Glory! And the toils on the road, they'll seem nothing since I got to the end of the way. I got to the end of of the way. So the sands have been washed out of footprints of a stranger on Galilee's shore. And the voice that subdued the rough billows, well, it turned it to be a no more. Oh, hallelujah! But aren't you glad that though you can't see his footprints in the sand, you can be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah! As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You know, down in the hills of Arkansas, in an old-fashioned tent meeting, I heard the thunder of his voice speak to my soul. And down in Old Big Creek, where I was baptized in its cold, clear waters, was just as real and more so as old Jordan was back then, because I found Jesus real to my soul. And when I needed the Holy Ghost, amen, I found myself an altar in an old-fashioned church, and God turned it into an upper room for me. It's still there, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, aren't you glad that you heard his voice, that you followed in his footsteps, that you felt his touch? You heard him say, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven thee. Because we were condemned just like that woman. We were condemned just like that pitiful one that washed his feet with her tears and dried him with her hair. And you know what he said? He said, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven thee. Oh, Simon didn't weep. Simon didn't shout. Simon didn't show any emotion. But the woman who was forgiven so much did. Praise God. Sister Carinita shouted so much in the Jordan River, I had to hold on to her. Praise God. Amen. I just about drowned in my watch. It had to get dried out. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Oh, aren't you glad for the reality there is in serving God? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. But the path of that long Galilean with joy I will follow today. And the toils of the road, they won't seem nothing since I got to the end of the way. All the way. Just stand and give God the praise this morning. Give him the glory. Give him the honor. Give him the praise. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. John chapter 8 and verse 46. Perhaps I should read just a little bit before verse 46. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. That's verse 44. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, verse 45, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? They wanted him arrested and done away with. Amen. Praise God. And the officers answered, "Never man. Never man spake like this man." Amen. That's what I'd like to talk about for a few minutes this morning. If you'd like to make it short, Brother Billy, just put "never man." Never man spake like this man. Then answered the Pharisees, "Are you also deceived? Has he got you fooled too? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?" Then answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went to his own house. Every man went to his own house. Never a man spake like this man. Hardened officers are the ones that said it. They're the ones that said it, and I think they were right. How many agree with them? They were right. Boy, they heard him. That's what people ought to do. They ought to get acquainted with the prophet before they accuse him. Jesus said, "Know them that labor among you." If you don't get to know them, don't get close to them, you'll go on rumor. You'll make your judgment and your prejudice will be governed by the gossip that you hear. And by the rumors that you hear. Amen. People that don't like other people, they say everything in the world about them to discredit them. And some people who've never heard, don't know. Young folks, they believe them. Amen. But these soldiers went to arrest him. These officers of the temple went to arrest him. They were instructed with strict instructions, "Bring him back. We want him brought before us. We want him tried." Oh, they had tried it many times before. Amen. But the devil couldn't kill him till God got through with him. And the devil can't kill you neither till God gets through with you. Amen. They said, "Never man spake like this man." How did they know? What spiritual perception did they have? Hey, you don't have to have very much. If you're a human being, and everybody that's not a human being here today, would you mind raising your hand if you're not in the human family? I mean, you just don't want to be counted among us. No hands. Amen. Everybody here is in the human family. That means you're the creation of God. That means you've got a God-shaped conscience inside of you. You've got a God-shaped vacuum inside of you. It's got little ears. It's got little eyes. Amen. It's got a little nose. Amen. It's got a little mind. It's got a little heart. Amen. And it's God-shaped. And when it comes in contact with the supernatural things and with the power of God, amen, there's something leaps inside of you. Just like John the Baptist leaped in the womb of Elizabeth when he came in contact with the Virgin Mary carrying the Son of God. Praise God. Yes. You talk about shouting. John the Baptist did a little shouting. Praise God. Before he was born. Praise God. Little Blaine Bradley in the media at the first of the year. We prayed for him. He's 6 months old. And he got to shouting in his mother's arms. Amen. And finally Kim, amen, got tired of hanging on to him and him a shouting 6 months old, that she gave him to Grandpa Oscar. Amen. And he held on to him for a while. Amen. A sight to behold, a 6 month old child shouting because he came in the presence and the power of the Spirit and was healed. That tear duct was opened up. Praise God. And he was made whole. Praise God. Why did that little 6 month old child shout? Because he'd come in contact with the presence and the power and reality of God. Amen. And if you haven't got hardened to it, if you haven't taken it for granted, if you haven't swallowed some false rumor or some false doctrine, it will affect you emotionally also when you come in contact with it. Raise your hands and praise God a little bit. Glory to God. How did they know? Did he waken their inner being? Yes. Amen. Did their hearts burn like the two men on the Emmaus Road when they didn't recognize him, but their hearts burned within them as he talked with them by the way? Ooh, glory to God. Yeah, you may be affected or disaffected. You may be, amen, twisted and warped by rumor and by false doctrine and by untruth and by deception. But when you come in contact with the real thing, there's something tries to come alive on the inside. And that's how his words affected them. Amen. He got a case of holy heartburn. Amen. Did he appeal to their logic? You know, God makes sense. Jesus Christ makes sense. Hallelujah. The Bible makes sense. With all due respect, why is the Arab world and much of the Jewish world, amen, so utterly devoid of common horse sense today? It's because they don't have Christ. Why do they not think like ordinary human beings think and judge like ordinary human beings judge? Why is it they can't see things, they can't reason, they can't get along with themselves or nobody else, either Jews or Arabs? Amen. We just witnessed in the last couple of weeks or the last month the assassination of the Prime Minister of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin. Amen. And it said in one of the newspapers, I didn't buy it, but I saw it in the stands, how that the security of Israel has been torn. Amen. Oh, no, the security of Israel hasn't been torn. The thing has happened that happens always, eventually to great movements, great kingdoms, great churches, great moves of God. The enemy that destroys them is not the one from the outside. It's the one on the inside. That's why a Jewish zealot could get to their prime minister to shoot him dead. Amen. He was on the inside, wearing his covering like all the rest of the Jews. Amen. Yes, sir. Oh, yes. Rabin was not very popular with the man on the street in Israel. Some said he was communistic, and some said this, and some said something else. Amen. But the security of Israel wasn't ripped. No. The ones that were supposed to be keeping the security was where the trouble lies. It's on the inside. Great churches are never destroyed from the outside. The church grows with persecution. The church feeds on persecution. Amen. The church is fertilized by the blood of the martyrs, and the seed grows, praise God. But what the church cannot stand are any great movement, or any great kingdom, or any great dynasty, is that which happens on the inside. Amen. Decay from the inside. Did he appeal to their logic? Yes, because God is the most logical there is. Jesus Christ is the most logical teacher there ever was. Amen. Praise God. Did his words convict them? To all four questions that I have asked this morning, did he awaken their conscience? Did their hearts burn? Did he appeal to their logic? Did his words convict them? Yes, 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 yes. All four questions, yes. They were so moved. Amen. And I mean that and more, brother. That and more. You just can't imagine how you'd feel if you could hear the greatest words ever spoken by the greatest teacher ever taught, telling the greatest story ever told. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yes! 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 And more! Amen. They were so emphatic when they said to their superiors, never man spake like this man, that the priests and the Pharisees said, have you been fooled by him too? Are ye also deceived? Amen. You see, they hadn't bothered to listen to him. They hadn't bothered to hear him. All they knew that he was competition. All they knew, amen, that he was about to take the kingdom away from them. All they could see and understand was this: if we let this man go, the Romans will come and take away our place and nation. They turned green with envy, and then they turned red with hate, and they didn't even bother to listen to the greatest words ever spoken. The officers came back with a true account. Never a man spake like this man. They had another question. Have any of the Pharisees believed on him? The answer to that question was yes. Some of them did too. And then they got in a little debate. And Nicodemus chimed in. Nicodemus, who came to him by night. Nicodemus, whose life was changed. And here he sits, amen, right in the Sanhedrin, and speaking up for Jesus. He's one that would beg for the body of Jesus, and him with Joseph of Arimathea would buy the spices and provide the tomb between them, amen, for Jesus' burial. Nicodemus said, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? You know what Nicodemus knew? He knew what he didn't know before he went to see him. But when he went to see him and heard him, Nicodemus was changed. All men need to do this morning is pay attention to what Jesus has to say. And it'll change your logic. It'll rid you of your hatreds. It'll rid you of your bias. It will rid you of that which is illogical, that which is hurting you, the sin that's destroying you. Amen. The world advertises sin, makes it look like a big time. And you're not with it if you're not in it. Amen. But Jesus comes along and says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But we've spent so much money for the world. We've invested so much in the world. We've got so much at stake in the world.
We've got all these uniforms and all these football suits and all these baseball suits and all of these gymnasiums and all of these things of the world. Amen. If we quit all of this now and follow Jesus, there's a whole lot of things going to go bankrupt. Let them go. Praise God. Wouldn't it be wonderful to turn every stadium into revival? Wouldn't it be wonderful to turn every gymnasium into a revival center? Wouldn't it be wonderful, praise God, to turn every football game into a Holy Ghost rally? Glory to God, where the blind eyes are opened and the deaf hear and the dumb speak and the lame walk and the dead are raised to life again. Never man spake like this man. And then the chief priests got into the debate. They blew out a lot of smoke and laid a smoke screen. They answered him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee riseth no prophet." Well, what of it? It came from everywhere else. Where of Galilee? Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees. Why not Galilee? Amen. Glory to God. Noah didn't live in Palestine. Why not Galilee? Amen. Just because he's from Galilee, that didn't disqualify him. Amen. But rather than listen, rather than hear, rather than be changed, rather than risk the loss of their, quote, place and nation, they laid a great big smoke screen. They put up a great big protest. And they went on to make further plans to get rid of their competition. But their life remained unchanged. Every man, the Bible said, went unto his own house. Amen. Brother Bo Starr was preaching one night and he felt led of God to tell a gentleman in the service he was preaching, "Brother, this is your last altar call." He emphasized it the second time. "This God told me to tell you, this is your last altar call." And he said, "All your preachers all just like you're trying to scare somebody into getting saved." He said, "I'm telling you what God told me to tell you. This is your last altar call." He didn't come. He walked out of the church and got in his car, and someone heard the horn started blowing and just kept blowing. And they went outside and found that man slumped over the steering wheel. He had died of a heart attack before he even started his car. It was his last altar call. Someday we'll walk away from the power of God the last time. Someday we'll reject the gospel the last time and start to our own house. But someday we may not make it home. Stand with me and let's pray. Amen. They went to their own house. How many times have people done that? In services where God spoke. How many opportunities have knocked at our hearts? How many times has God answered the prayers of the saints and given us mercy one more time? We felt the thunder roll in our soul. That God-shaped conscience. That God-shaped inner space. That vacuum that longs to be filled. That hungers for God. Cried out. But instead we turned around and walked away and quenched to silence the inner voice that would have compelled us to an altar of prayer, conviction, repentance, salvation, and the blessing of God. Father, bless these broken remarks. Challenge our hearts this morning. Open our lives and our eyes this day. I pray in Jesus' name, for the glory of God. I thank you for it, Lord. Amen and amen. Come around the altar. As the saints come to pray, come with them this morning. We have time to seek God, don't we? We have time to pray, don't we? Don't go away without making your calling and your election sure. Come on. Come on this morning.
While there's still time, make up your mind. You can't be happy living on the borderline. If you only knew,
if you only knew
His love for you,
you can know.
While there's still time, tomorrow's just on credit. There's no guarantee on life. You could be gone in a moment. When your time comes to die, you also know that Christ is coming. And living on the borderline. If you only knew,
if you only knew
His love for you, you would not wait or hesitate while there's still time. If you're saved, then you're invited to spread to your friends and those you love so much. The time is running out, so just listen to His tender voice. He's calling to your heart. Draw closer to me, child. There's still time. While there's still time,
your mind.
You can't be happy living on the borderline. If you only knew,
if you only knew
His plan for you, you would not wait or hesitate while there's still time. While there's
time,
make up your mind. You can't be happy living on the borderline. If you only knew,
if you only knew
His plan for you, you would not wait or hesitate while there's still time.